Let's turn this nation back to God. Let's put Him in control. Let's ask Him first to cleanse our heart and save our eternal soul. And then we'll ask with conscience clear and hearts washed free of sin, O God above, we humbly pray, bless America again. This is Pastor Emery. I do not have copies of that poem. It is in a book written by a Mrs. Phyllis Harmon and printed by the Freedom Gospel Mission of St. Albans, West Virginia. In the 21st chapter of Luke, Jesus was asked by his disciples, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? From the context here, and from the longer and more detailed question in Matthew 24, they were asking about the end of this age. Jesus answered at some length, including verse 5, And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity the sea and the waves roaring. In Matthew 24, answering the longer question, he also referred to the heavenly bodies in verse 9, Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery, and we are studying the various symbols on the Great Seal of the United States in relation to the Bible. As you know, the seal has an eagle with outstretched wings, with a red, white, and blue shield on his breast. He carries an olive branch in one talon, 13 arrows in the other, and there are 13 stars above his head surrounded by a cloud of glory. Our Great Seal is on the back of all U.S. $1 bills, in case you do not remember just what it looks like. So far, we have seen that every symbol on the face of this seal is taken directly from the Holy Bible, and further than that, every symbol on America's Great Seal is either representative of God and His power, or of the Israel people. Isn't that strange, that America, which is supposed to be a so-called Gentile nation, has, as its official emblem, a seal made up of biblical and Israelite symbols. Last week we read Joseph's dream in Genesis 37, where we found that the stars in his dream stood one star for each of the sons of Jacob Israel, and the full symbols of the sun, moon, and stars stood for the entire Israel people. So here we have, on our Great Seal, 13 stars, obviously representing the 13 tribes of Israel, now joined together to form the greater Star of David. And if you will look at the way they are set on our Great Seal, you will see the 13 stars form one six-pointed Star of David. They are surrounded by the cloud of glory, which of course represents God's protection, God's favor, God's light upon the children of Israel, just as the cloud did that led, guided, and protected Israel when they came out of Egypt under Moses so long ago. Today I want to read a few more Bible passages about the sun, the moon, and the stars, and give their application, since several prophets, Jesus Christ, and the New Testament writers mentioned those heavenly bodies as indicating changes or events which would take place at the end of this age. And speaking of the 13 stars, representing the 13 tribes of Israel, and of course representing our 13 colonies forming into one nation, I mentioned the year 1776 several weeks ago in this study, and said the year 1776 marked the end of Israel's seven times of punishment as prophesied in Leviticus 26. I won't go into the computation for that on the radio, since I have done it in our January issue of America's Promise News Bulletin, which is being sent out on our mail list, and which others may receive simply by writing to me and asking for the January packet of literature. As shown in that article, Israel was to be regathered and made into a nation again at the end of a certain time period. A nation was to be born in a day, as the scripture says, and that day figures out to be July 4, 1776. Turn to Isaiah 13 in your Bible. This is one of the passages which prophesies that, in verse 10, the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, the sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. This verse is in the middle of a prophecy about Babylon and its destruction. But this Babylon of Isaiah 13 is not the ancient city of Babylon, for we read in verse 6 that the day of the Lord is at hand, which the prophet repeats in verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. These are end-time phrases used by a number of the prophets. He also uses another phrase which we recognize as pertaining to the end of this age, rather than to Isaiah's time, in verse 13. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Joel uses that description, the shaking of the heavens and the earth, as does Haggai, Daniel, and also Ezekiel in chapter 38 about the great Russian invasion of Israel. Paul refers to the shaking in Hebrews 12, where he writes of this shaking of the earth as yet future from his own time, verse 26, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven, and this word yet once more signifieth the removing of things that may be shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And then in the next verse, Paul says, that which will remain is the kingdom of God. So the time of the future shaking of Isaiah 13 and of the other prophets is the removal of the wicked and their unrighteous system upon the earth to make way for Christ's kingdom. In Isaiah 13, where the prophet speaks of Babylon's fall due to a great shaking of the heavens and the earth, of course he also writes in verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, the sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And what will God do while those heavenly symbols are darkened? The very next verse answers the question. Verse 11 of Isaiah 13, and I will punish the world, and the margin here says Babylon, for I will punish Babylon for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. This is the time of great destruction upon the wicked, upon the Antichrist, who have set themselves up to rule over the earth, but before they are destroyed, the sun, the moon, and the stars, which stand for the Israel people, shall be darkened. What do we see today? We see the United States of America and the other Israel nations, such as Great Britain, Canada, Germany, Scandinavia, and the other northern European countries losing their influence and control over the rest of the earth and even of their own nations. And we see a super world government being set up through the United Nations and other semi-secret organizations which are telling those nations what they can and cannot do. In the middle 1960s, President Johnson and later President Nixon stated that we had to go to war in Southeast Asia to, quote, honor our commitments to the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, end of quote. Sometimes they would use its initials and say CETO. What they did not explain to the American people, who were furnishing the boys to die in that war, was that CETO was a part of the United Nations, and the United States, in effect, had been ordered by the United Nations to send their soldiers to South Vietnam and fight a war. During the 10 years of the so-called war in South Vietnam, our soldiers were under orders that they could not shoot back at the Viet Cong or North Vietnamese soldiers until they had called headquarters on radio or phone and received permission to return the fire. Our Air Force planes were not allowed to bomb North Vietnam on orders of the United Nations. Our Navy was not allowed to intercept ships carrying war supplies to North Vietnam on orders of the United Nations. In fact, all during the 10 years of the Vietnam War, ships of various nations and even hundreds of ships from Great Britain itself passed through our own Panama Canal carrying supplies and ammunition to the communists of North Vietnam. Why did not the U.S. government act in the best interest of the American people during that war? Well, because the U.S. government is acting under United Nations orders. Eventually, the United States pulled out of South Vietnam and turned it over to the communists, again on orders from the United Nations. The extensive agitation against the war inside the United States was merely a smokescreen, a cover-up, to make the American people think their government had succumbed to the pressure of the demonstrators, when the truth was the American government was acting on orders of the United Nations. Our grain and manufactured goods are being sent to communist nations under the terms of various agreements worked out and signed in secret under the United Nations Trade Organizations. And on and on and on. Our sun is being darkened. Our moon is not causing its light to shine, and the stars do not give their light. In the Bible, as we saw in previous radio Bible series, the Babylon of Isaiah 13 is this semi-secret world anti-Christian power which rules over all nations, including our own. The angel told John in Revelation 17 that mystery Babylon the Great was that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That rule of Babylon the Great is not some future event where a man called the Antichrist will rule for 7 years after the Christians are removed from the earth. No, that Antichrist rule is here now, and it reigns over the kings or over the rulers of the earth. Thank God the Antichrist rule is not future. In fact, it is nearing its end, and will soon be destroyed by God himself as he riseth to shake terribly the earth. And I think here I will repeat my offer of a free cassette. We have a weekly tape ministry, and one recent sermon covered 1 Thessalonians 4, the so-called rapture verses. And that cassette shows the doctrine of the secret rapture of the believers off the earth is false doctrine. The Bible teaches it is the wicked who will be destroyed and removed, not the righteous. You folks who have been deceived by the rapture doctrine should get this cassette and study it with your Bible. You may have it for free if, when you write, you ask for it separately. We see those stars representing our Israel people shining in all their glory, but that is only when God's protective and guiding cloud surrounds them. I read this in Hosea 4:7. As they increased, so they sinned against me. And that is what we have done. As we prospered under God's hand of mercy and grace, we turned away from his word and sinned against him. And what will God do about it? Here is the last half of that same verse. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Now let's be sure we get this straight. I know I just said that aliens issuing secret orders are causing the damage to American society today. But we must realize these things are allowed by God Almighty. Just as alien nations were brought against ancient Israel to punish and correct them for their sins, just so is God allowing these alien nations and peoples today to come against us, to punish and chastise us for our sins against God and his word. So it is God who is changing our glory into shame. It is God who is allowing us to be put to the worst before our enemies. It is God who is causing his word of judgment to come to pass upon America because we refuse to hear his word. This chapter 4 of Hosea fits exactly in contemporary America. In the first verse, God says, Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, and here's the reason, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. I know there are millions of Americans who are trying to serve God, who try to find out the truth of His Word, but in a national sense, there is no knowledge of God in the land. As a nation, we know little of His Word. Even our own president, after two centuries of thanksgivings in America, issued his 1975 proclamation without one reference to God Almighty in it. We weren't even told who we were to thank, just to be thankful. That is an affront to God and proof of our national ignorance and sin. This chapter lists some of the judgments which would come upon this place called Ephraim in verse 17. They would be such things as, verse 3, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. In the last 10 years, American commercial fishermen have almost ceased to operate in the oceans of the world. In the Atlantic, Russian trawlers drag their gear right through the American fishermen's nets and destroy them. In some areas, the huge Russian ships drag such fine nets through the sea, they literally scoop out everything from the area covered. And since 99% of all ocean fish exist along the continental shelves, this kind of activity near American shores removes from us the fishes of the sea. On the West Coast and Alaska, both the Japanese and the Russians are literally driving American fishermen from the seas. In Hosea 4 and verse 10, they shall eat and not have enough. Almost every American has plenty to eat, but doctors warn a great percentage of Americans are actually suffering from malnutrition because what they eat does not supply the necessary vitamins and minerals for good health, a literal fulfillment of, they shall eat and not have enough. Verse 13, they will burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. This refers to drugs or herbs burned because the shadow or the vision caused by them is desired by the people. This is fulfilled in the tremendous use of marijuana among our young people, burning this sweet-smelling herb for the dreams it causes in their minds, because the shadow thereof is good. The next phrase says, therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. Investigators of the effects of marijuana smoking upon individuals say the most immediate effect is a loss of modesty and morals. Sexual intercourse is a natural result of marijuana smoking, and it usually is between unmarried persons, or at least those who are not married to each other. Whoredoms and adultery, from burning this incense, because the shadow thereof is good or is desired. Did God give that to Hosea 2,500 years ago, or was that written in yesterday's newspaper? This same chapter says of Israel's rulers, in verse 18, her rulers with shame do love gilly. In other words, the rulers of this nation spoken of here, take and take and take from the people. Could that be America? God said it would happen to Israel when He changed their glory into shame because they sinned against Him. In Daniel 12, we see a similar prophecy where the man clothed in linen foretold this breaking of the power of the Israel nations by God at the end of the age. In verse 7, he gives the time period, saying it would end, quote, when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Again, we must look at America's food, America's production, America's money, and even America's military power being given away to alien nations, scattered across the earth, as it were, removed from us, so that our power is scattered or destroyed. Prophecy is fulfilled. Yes? Israel will be darkened, will lose her light when she turns away from Jesus Christ, her Redeemer. But thank God we also have God saying through the prophet Hosea, in chapter 5, verse 14, I will be unto Ephraim, and remember, Ephraim stands for the northern house of Israel. I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take, and none shall rescue him. And then he adds, verse 15, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. This principle, that we must seek God before God will answer us, is maintained throughout the whole Scriptures. Israel, America, God's people must acknowledge their offense. We know this is true, of course, from a personal standpoint. Jesus' first sermon to the people is recorded in Matthew 4 and verse 17. What is it? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Mark 6, we read of the disciples sent out by Jesus in verse 12, and they went out and preached that men should repent. In Acts 2, after Peter preached, the men came to him and said unto him, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter answered, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent, 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 acknowledge thine iniquity, is the call of God to his people, both individually and nationally, all through the Bible. God doesn't say, Come forward and acknowledge me as God. Come down to the altar and tell the folks you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. My friend, even the devils Jesus cast out of the people did that. In Matthew 8, before Jesus cast the devils out of the two men, the devils cried out, according to verse 29, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Yes, devils called Jesus the Son of God. In Mark 1:24, unclean spirit called him Jesus of Nazareth and the Holy One of God. In Mark 3:11, we read that, quote, unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. You can read similar passages in Mark 5:7, Luke 4:34, and Acts 19:15. Today we don't hear much about repentance, but we do hear a lot about believing that Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, there is more preaching today that all you have to do is confess that Jesus is the Son of God and you will be saved than we ever heard in the history of America. And what is happening? Is America turning from her wicked ways? Is America repenting of her sins? Is America turning to God's word and God's law? No, America is not. So God continues to turn America's glory into shame. The light of the sun, the moon, and the stars will continue to fade until we do one thing, repent, acknowledge our offenses, confess our sins, and turn from our wicked ways. This teaching that all you have to do is acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, is asking you to do no more than devils do, not do what Christians should do according to the Bible. Last week we saw that there are a number of references in the prophets, and also in the New Testament, to the sun, the moon, and the stars being darkened, or in some manner indicating there would be signs in the sun, moon, and stars in the end of this age. We saw that the sun, the moon, and stars stand for national Israel, with the individual stars being used in Genesis 37, one star standing for each of the sons of Jacob Israel. The 13 stars above the eagle's head stand for the 13 tribes of Israel, just as the 13 olives in the eagle's right talon and the 13 arrows in the eagle's left talon also stand for 13 tribes completed regathered Israel. If Pastor Emery is right, that those stars stand for America Israel, and several of the references to the sun, moon, and stars losing their light in this end of the age refer to the Israel people losing their power and influence in the world, then that is easily seen to be fulfilled in America. The communists seem to have easily whipped us in Southeast Asia. We supposedly are maintaining peace in the Middle East, but a careful analysis of what is being done there indicates Mr. Kissinger is buying a few months of peace by bribing the Jews and the Arabs with multiplied billions of the American dollars. It is true that there is no outright war over there, but the billions of dollars of American wealth going to the Jews and Arabs can only further impoverish and weaken America. As our January bulletin will show, America has no military defense against a Russian attack and invasion. Turn with me to the prophet Joel. Joel is only 3 chapters long, right after Daniel and Hosea, and his entire prophecy is for the end of this age, including the phrase about the darkening of the sun, moon, and stars. In chapter 1, he tells of the devourers who would come upon the Israel people, robbing and plundering them of their wealth. Then in chapter 2, he describes what we can recognize as world communism, moving across the earth, conquering nation after nation. In verse 1, Joel writes that we are to be warned that this is taking place just before the day of the Lord. Verse 1, Joel 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Zion, of course, is God's nation. The trumpet in Scripture is God's word. So the warning to be given is the preaching of God's word. And then in verse 2, he describes the day of the Lord. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. I've covered the prophet Joel on the radio before, and I know many churchgoers are surprised to see the Bible describe the day of the Lord as a day of darkness. They apparently hoped that the day of the Lord was the day of Christ's return and that it would be a day of light. No, Joel uses the phrase a day of darkness, as does the next prophet, Amos, in chapter 5, verse 18, Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness, and not light. He goes on, As if a man did flee from a lion, and a bear met him, or went into a house and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. In other words, it is a day of surprise and calamity. Verse 20, Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? Zephaniah, a little further on in the Old Testament, chapter 1, starting in verse 14, The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. Now that doesn't sound like much of a day to look forward to, does it? Or a day to desire. I don't want to spend too much time on the day of the Lord. That is a subject in itself, and for those who have cassette tape recorders, I do have a series of 3 sermons, each 45 minutes long, with that title, The Day of the Lord. They are listed in the tape catalog, which will be in the January packet. The subtitle of that series is, It is Not What Most Christians Have Been Told It Is. And I guess you can see that from the few verses we have read here. Anyway, getting back to the prophet Joel, the next verses in chapter 2 describe exactly the way communists conquer and destroy nations, as in verse 3. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. which is true. Before the communists conquered Russia, the Ukraine was known as the breadbasket of Europe. Today, the Ukraine is a land of poverty and distress, as is the rest of Russia, and must be fed by American grain to keep the people alive. Before communism, Cuba had one of the highest standards of living in the Western Hemisphere, second only to America and Canada. Today, it is a poorest, with hundreds of thousands of its citizens exiled in America, and thousands killed trying to escape the poverty and brutality that is communism. You should read all of Joel 2, verses 1 through 10 for that description. Anyway, verse 10 sums it up. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Now this is obviously not literal. God isn't saying that because of the destruction wrought upon the earth by cruel and vicious men, that the stars, which are actually great suns in the universe, will quit shining. No, he is talking about the Israel people. You Christian people, just think for a moment. What has been one of the most successful battles waged against America by open and secret communists? Well, in case you hadn't thought about it, I will tell you. It is the removal of Bible and prayer from our schools and from all public places. And secondly, the corruption of the Bible's teachings by secret agents of the Antichrist in America's seminaries and pulpits. Communists always and everywhere work for the eradication of God's Word from the nation under attack. God's Word is that light which has gone out in America, and as a consequence, America's light is going out in the world. Isaiah speaks of our day throughout the last chapters of his prophecies. In chapter 59, he writes in verse 2, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." That is America's problem today. We are in such calamitous national disobedience to God's laws that God will not answer America's prayers. Just reading a few phrases out of each of the next verses in Isaiah. "Your hands are defiled with blood." Would you say that the murder of 1 million innocent babies in the womb last year in America had defiled our hands with blood? "They trust in vanity and speak lies." Even the American people, as ignorant of the truth of our government as they are, have realized they are continually being lied to by the men in control. "Their works are works of iniquity, or works in violation of God's laws. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Wasting and destruction are in their paths." Then verse 9, "Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night." Who among you can describe the path of the United States over the last 40 years any better than God describes it as he tells how his people will act when they are in sin and iniquity against him? We have, as a people, rejected the light of God's word, and so we stumble along in darkness, and prophecy is fulfilled that in this day of conquest by the wicked of the nations of the earth, even God's people would become a people in darkness, a people who would lose their light. "Judgment is far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but we walk in darkness." In the next chapter in Isaiah, where the prophet speaks of the deliverance of our people, thank God, we can see verified that the darkness of the sun and the moon will be ended when God's light again shines on Israel in Zion. Isaiah 60, verse 19. "The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory." In verse 20, he makes it plain, this sun and moon is not the literal sun and moon, but something which is the possession of Israel. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light. In the great seal of the United States, of course, is depicted the situation when God is the light of Israel. The 13 stars there are surrounded by the Shekinah cloud of glory of God Almighty. Just as Israel was lighted by the cloud by day in the wilderness and the pillar of fire by night to lead them and protect them on their journey out of bondage and into the promised land. Let us close in Joel 2 today, and we'll see that what is prophesied here, after the sun and moon are darkened and the stars withdraw their shining, is the same as in Isaiah and the other prophets. God will then cause the Israel people to repent, turn to Him, and He will save them. Joel 2, verse 11, what happens when Israel has lost the light? And the Lord shall utter His voice before His army, for His camp is very great, for He is strong that executeth His word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? How about that? At the very time when the wicked are conquering the earth and seemingly are ready to overrun and conquer even God's people, God utters His voice before His army. What is uttering His voice? Well, it is the preaching of God's word. Is it preached to the Antichrist and the heathen? No, it is preached to God's army, to the believers in Zion. That's what it said in the first verse. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. God's word is for God's Israel people. It was not given in this age to be understood by the Antichrist and the heathen. History proves it, whether the missionaries believe it or not. Then what are God's people to do when they hear uttered or preached God's word in this day of darkness and calamity? The next verses tell us. Verse 12, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. Oh, I thought we were supposed to rise up and fight the communists, and to overthrow the Antichrist. No, God says, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Turn unto the Lord your God. For He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Pastor Emery, do you mean to tell me that if America turned to God, to Jesus Christ, that God would stop all this Antichrist communist activity against us? Yes, I do, for God's word promises it. Read the book of Jeremiah. Over and over, Jeremiah warned the Judah kingdom that God was going to send the Babylonians against their city to burn it to the ground unless they repented and turned from their sins. God promised them if they would turn, He would establish them forever in the city and in the land. But they never turned, so God sent the Chaldeans, and they burned Jerusalem to the ground. Read the book of Jonah. God called Jonah to arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. When he finally got Jonah there, Jonah's message was, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What happened? Well, the city repented. Read the second chapter. And verse 10 says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He said He would do unto them, and He did it not. We are in the same situation today in America, in the Zion of Bible prophecy, and the call is the same. Repent, turn from your wicked ways. 2 Chronicles 7:14 puts it this way, if my people which are called by my name, and that's Christian, named after Christ, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. And what does that mean? Turn from their wicked ways. Quit sinning and start obeying God. Then God says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What did Jesus say in Luke 13:3? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What did Jesus say to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3? 6 times he said, repent. Do you suppose the churches of America have anything to repent of? Think about it. Let's read on quickly in Joel 2 in the time remaining. Verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation. And how would they be sanctified? But through the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can sanctify America, and no other religion even teaches it. Sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. And I believe that is a prophecy of the marriage of the Lamb. Verse 17. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say. And then is given a 30-word prayer, which, I believe, America must pray before God will then do what we read in verse 18. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. The destruction of the Northern Army, which by that time will have invaded America, is then promised in verse 20, giving a location of that battle as between the East Sea and the Utmost Sea, or as the margin reads, the Western Sea. It could only fit this North American continent. What is the call to God's people, Israel, in America today? The same as it has always been, repent, 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 for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Praise God that we have the sure word of prophecy that we will turn, we will repent in their affliction. They will seek me early is the promise. Israel will hear the trump of God when it is blown in Zion. Yes, God's cloud of glory, God's cloud of protection will again be around the 13 tribes of Israel, as shown in the 13 stars in the cloud on the great seal of the United States of America. And I do pray many of you have received a greater understanding of just what God is doing in and among the people in this nation and in the world during this study on the Bible and the great seal of the United States of America. It is a shame, but it is true, that a large majority of the American people, even many who regularly attend some church, seem not to know or see that God Almighty has a plan for this people in this age. It is only as we begin to make diligent study of the Word of God that we see God's hand in America and the signs of the times of which Jesus spoke in Matthew 16:3. We have spent enough time on the signs and symbols on the face of America's seal. Today we shall discuss the pyramid, and then the mottos found above and below it on the reverse of the great seal. If you are a new listener, I will spend a minute or so recapping the Bible meaning of the symbols on the face of the U.S. seal before we begin on the reverse. If you want to look at the seal itself, you will find it